you gotta know, like, you gotta scale your business according to the level of where you at. You know me, my biggest issue is that I will always make just enough to get certain things done. But when it all changed for me, when I went viral in 2017 on Twitter, that's mm-hmm. when I knew I had to always buy more than what I needed, because it's like the demand always there now. Like, this just turned everything up for me.
That's dope, bro. Yeah, that's
Twitter,
dope.
Twitter changed. I really be like that too. That tweet really did change my life.
Welcome to The Culture's Money. The Culture's Money is a podcast created to discuss how we multiply the $1.2 trillion in spending power possessed by the American Black community through the vehicles of investing, personal finance, ownership, networking, and most importantly, collaboration. We are the culture, baby, and we are the financing that we've been seeking. Now, let's get into this money talk. And here's your host, Jamal Vitos.
All right, culture members, welcome back. This is another episode of The Culture's Money. Per usual, I am your host, Jamal Vitos. Some of you may know me on other social media platforms as Leo Grand Prince, but however it is that you know me, I hope you know me to be an advocate for financial literacy, entrepreneurship, generational wealth, and overall financial growth. I'm happy to have at the money table with me today another young, inspiring brother. I've been following him on Twitter for, it has to be a couple of years now, on his journey with his product and his business. The name of the business is EBO Beard Butters. I would like to welcome to the money table, Mr. Edward.
Hey, how you doing, man?
Dag, yo, I gave him the government name. I meant to say it, Ed. That's what happened when you talk to him.
Nah, they call me Edward. Ed, how you want to approach it? I mean, it's going to get the same response.
Yeah, I got you. So, tell me, the thing that caught me about your brand, for one, I like the packaging and all that. I've actually I ordered the product, I think it was like a year or two ago, and used it on me. I loved it forever. But I had actually, when I graduated college, had started my own male grooming beard products that it was actually my first startup. It didn't go anywhere, but the fact that you were doing it kind of just like, oh, it clicked. I was like, yo, it's other people in the industry.
I don't ever want to say by luck. I guess it was just by design of life. I was just really looking for something for myself. And I was trying stuff, but nothing was for my hair. Basically, it didn't work, you know. And at the time, it was just like, all right, well, I don't know how to make this stuff or nothing at the time. But it's just like, mom, I talked to my mom. My mom is, she make products, body lotions. I mean, I buy like shea butters, body rubs, soap, stuff like that. So I was like, mom, I want to come up with something that, you know, make my hair soft and, you know, moisturize, whatever the case may be. You know, just for what I was struggling with at the time. You know, and then it was just something, you know, just messing around with and, you know, using it on myself, and it's working. And, you know, getting my hair cut, my pops was like, yo, your beard's looking good, it's growing, it's, your hair's soft. So you like, okay, it's, you know, I'm looking good.
It's a real product.
Yeah, it's a real thing. But again, at the time, it's not something that I'm thinking about selling, because at the time I'm selling hair. I was selling mm-hmm. at this
and
time.
And stop playing. Like, what type of hair are we talking about?
Like bundles. Like, I'm selling the bundles. I was selling them my senior year, like my last semester, my senior year in college. That fall.
Wait. I can't break this up. So you were selling weave hair to women when you kind of pivoted to like being by the
beads? If you ask them girls at Norfolk State about me, you came to my dorm room. I really had them in my room. You know, homecoming season came. I had good prices, but I had the good hair. It wasn't It wasn't like I was just selling anything. I really had what you were supposed to have. You know, I just was a dude. I ain't wear it, but you know, the girls, you know, at the time, the girl I was talking to, she did everybody hair. She knew. So when I was like, yo, check this out, she was like, this is it. You know, this is the one. So I was like, all right, bet, you know, and was just that's how I made some money, you know, selling hair. Like that's how I initially was just making money, like doing that.
And I just think that's so dynamic, because I'm coming at it from an analytical point where it's like the hair, you had the demand for the bundles that you were selling, and you saw that the market was there. You already have a niche kind of edge, because girls selling bundles is not a novelty thing, but a dude selling bundles, that gets you more attention, because that's a rare thing on campus, I'm betting.
Yeah, man, this 2013, so it's super rare. This right. Like, this is like almost 10 years ago. So it's like, you know, and then if you see how I look and how I dress, you'd be like, this dude definitely, I don't know if I even want to buy hair from him. But literally, like, you know, one thing I can say though, when you really have the right product and you really market it right, word spread. I had women that didn't even go to my school, you know, driving from, okay, Newport News is like 40 minutes away. You know what I mean? From my campus. Women drive. They don't even go to my school. No, not even in college. Like grown women. They driving all the way to my dorm just to pick up hair because they heard about
me. You know, I swear I love this podcast because I was coming at you from a whole different angle just to start on your beard butters. I didn't even know you had started selling bundles, my guy.
Well, yeah, I mean, that it all kind of fall into place on how I got in the beer butter, because the bundles, like I said, at the time, it was sweet. Like, it was good money. You know what I mean? And then again, I had what I was supposed to have. The girls that was buying it from me, they loved it, you know, and they was really doing hair. And then, like, again, like, my prices was good. My product was better. So it was just like a match made in heaven at the time, because, you know, it was just some way to make some money while I was in college. Then, you know, you come home, you graduate, you try to go through the job process, it don't work, and you still got to make some money. So I had got some graduation money around like that March, and I started selling hair again when I came home from school. And, you know, I just did that, you know,
And the transition from that was that with the bundles, the demand was already there.
It was, in a sense, it was harder. It's like the demand was there when you on campus with it. But when you off and you know, like, once you get out of school, it's different, because you got to think the setting around you change, where you around thousands of students every day. So you going to either be around girls that's looking for hair or that know somebody that's looking. You know what I mean? Where now you home and I'm back in D.C. It was like, you know, you back in where you from. It's not like you around hundreds and hundreds of students every day where you can market easily like that.
The market shifted on you.
Yeah,
like, because it went from a small niche market to now you in a place where it's probably one easily more accessible, and you kind of starting over all over again. People don't even know you back home for selling hair.
No, I mean, it's like, not even that. Like, they knew because social media, but it was just more like the access to the person is way different, where, like, a girl could walk from this side of campus to that side of campus to my dorm, or I could meet them in the calf, or I could meet them somewhere where, like, the exchange is different. Where at home, it's like, you got to come from on the other side of the city or this and that. And like I said, like you said, the market shrunk because, for me, you know, home, I didn't have that reputation just yet. Like, people would speak about me, girls knew about me, and they'd post me and stuff, and it would help. But, you know, it still took, you know, a little bit more. Plus, like I said, coming from being a male selling hair in a dominated business, like, it's weird. It's like, behind the scenes, the hair game is dominated by men, but in the forefront, it's dominated by women. But in terms of, like, the getting it and all that, like, from overseas, like, it's weird. The way politics and rules is set up in, like, countries overseas, it's not wild, but it's, you'll be surprised to see, like, how things operate.
Okay. So, the kind of double back. So, you were looking for something on the market, and for, you know, your beard, as, you know, we all beard gang, I can definitely relate to that. And did you run into the problem that I ran in from what you were saying was, everything was made that was out on the market was processed with materials that would not necessarily benefit our skin tone, yeah, our hair texture,
basically,
and all that.
It was like waxes and all this type of stuff. I'm like, bro, my head not straight. Like, you could put wax in my hair, and it's going to be straight for 5 minutes. And then once it start coiling up, it's like that wax dry. Your hair start breaking off. You say, yeah, this not for me. This is not for my hair. Like, you know what I mean? And it's no offense to the products. It just didn't work with what I had or what we have. A lot of us have going on in terms of, like, you know, our skin tone and hair texture and stuff like that. So that's where, you know, the mindset is, you know, find a problem.
Make something of your own.
Yeah, make something of your own to solve the problem. And then, you know, just, like I said, I was selling hair because I couldn't get a job. Like, realistically, nobody was just trying to hire at the time. So it's 2014, you know, but you still want money. You still need to do this. You still got to do that. You out of school. So it was like the hair business was cool, but it was more like it's tough because you're a male and it's only like certain times where you'll really pump the hair. It's like at that time, you know, homecoming, spring break, maybe some summer moves, you'll make some money, but it's not like consistent.
A continuous ups.
It's not that. Yeah, because you can't, in reality, if you really want to get in that that business, you got to have at least on the low end 10 G's just to invest in just buying product, because there's so many different styles and textures and lengths. And this is, it's a whole intricate system when it comes to that. But like, you know, I found a way to compete for a little bit. But then, you know, you just need a second source of income. Then it was like, you know, maybe this beer stuff is, you know, people had the same problem I have. Let me see what happens. Because like I said, you don't have a job. You have nothing to lose. You have nothing to
lose. So talk to me about your mom in this aspect. I always find it interesting. And I always find it interesting in that aspect, whereas so many of us, and I did a podcast with a young lady earlier, and she wanted to be a journalist. Mm-hmm. And that didn't work out because of some budget cuts and everything like that. But her mom happened to be a data analyst. And she learned to code at 8. And I find it very coincidental that you were looking for a way to transition from the hair selling business and ran into this, you know, no materials or no products that suited your beard. And how fortuitous that your mom made her own products already and could teach you game.
Yeah, that's what I say. Sometimes you don't look at it as like left. You just look at it like the drawer. Like, you know, that was like she learned that stuff more so probably to teach me so that I could do what I'm doing now. You know, that's why I tell a lot of dudes, I'm like, yeah, the beard butter is for males, but you got to thank a female for it, because if it wasn't for my mother and all the stuff that she taught me, and then I mixed it with what I wanted to flip it with, like, but she gave me the foundation to how to do everything, you know what I mean? And that's what made it become something, you know what I mean? Because if it was up to me, I would have still been trying to figure it out. But like, literally, like, you know, we put our heads together, and you know, I came with like this how I wanted to look. She knew how to do it. This is what I'm thinking we could work with. And then she just helped me get it off the ground, you know what I mean, and do my thing.
That reminds me of an old, there's an old quote that says, everything that I am or ever hope to be, I owe to my mother.
Of course. I mean, it's factual. If you think about it, though, it's not a lie. Like, it's all of
it
us.
Really is not. So is your mother, I'm assuming, is she your business partner, or is she still operates the company with you?
No. It's weird. It's like at a certain point, me and my mom didn't see eye to eye. That's why I say like it's weird. Like, because business is business, but it wasn't like no weird breakup. It was just more like I knew where the business could go and what it needed to be. Mm-hmm. And at the time, like, I just knew what it needed to be, and I was trying to go. Like, let's do this, let's do that. And my mom, you know, she didn't really understand what I was saying and what I was thinking. So it kind of caused little conflicts with like decision making. And I'm just like, all right, you know, let me just take it over and do it on my own. You know what I mean? I appreciate it. But it's like at the same time, she understood, like anybody understood. If I went, she went. She just don't got to do none of the work no more. You know what I mean? Like, she's
that is very like, true, because she ain't never gonna forget about, yeah, mom. So if you up, she up.
It's like I'm up, she up. So it's like either way, and it's not, I'm not gonna say she don't help me. Like, she still does help me. Like, if I like mom needs some help doing this, doing that. But in terms of like day to day doing this, doing that, nah, that's, it's just, I'm really a one man show when it comes to all of that. But you know, like when it comes to advice, or you know, when I create new things, you know, she is the first person to, you know, let me know like what you think. And she, oh, this is it, or work on this, or I don't know, you know. And then me and my mother too similar, like, so a lot of people might not look at our, they look at our relationship like, yo, that's weird. But my mother tell me exactly how it is. She like, nah, that's not it. You know, when some people get in their feelings, I'm like, all right, what you think I should do? You know what I mean? Like, that's just us. Like, that's me, how me and her are. Like, she could tell me now, like completely like bash the idea, but like she could tell me that's not it. And I won't get in my feelings, because I understand, like, her main thing is, I'm not going to let you put out something that's going to affect your brand. Like, imagine I let you put out something that's trash. And you know what I mean? She's like, then I would be, what kind of mom would I be? She was like, I'd be letting you down to let you put out something that's not up to par. And then she always like, and plus you're a representation of me, so I can't have you out here looking weak. So
I think it is just so dope that
she always just give me game. But for the most part, like, once I figured out what I wanted to do, you know, I just ran with it. And it was nerve wracking at first, because you really don't know if you're going to make it. You know, you really don't. It's just business. Like, when you start something with something, you don't know if it's going to work or not. It could be the greatest idea to you, and people looking at you like, this shit's stupid. But at the same time, people also take into it and be like, you know what, let me give it a shot. So it just, it really depends. But I just look at it like,
did you bootstrap it from the ground up?
Let me give my guy a shot. I know what he could do, you know, because I always did stuff with business, just not like this. Like I always had like little businesses and I'm always selling something, clothes, shoes, whatever it is, you know, so this just falls in the line of that.
Like the chestnut wood box that you display them in the promo and the design colors for each of the different scents and all that. How did you come up with that?
Me and my mother. funny part, like really, like that box that I had it in, that's a cigar box, realistically. Like that's just a regular cigar box. That like me and mom's, my buddy was a photographer. He had a studio where he was working at, and I was like, "Mom, doing a photo shoot. I need something for display." And she had one around here. She was like, "Yeah, put him in here." And we did it. And I was like, "I bet this gonna look sweet." So, you know, we improvised. Like that's really how it all was. And even with the labels, like we partnered up. Like she really came up with the design in terms of like what like it looked like a tribal print border with like the like that. But like I was the one I want to do the different colors for the different scents. And then, you know, we put it together because at first my labels was trash. Like when I first was thinking about doing them, the first initial ones we made, it was like white labels with like colorful letters, but it was so hard to read. And we was like, no, we need the background to be this. And then we was like, damn, it's going to be a lot of color. But like it really just was like we really just was just giving it a shot. Like it was really no formal plan. It was nothing that where like a lot of people like, oh, well, they did this and they had this. Man, I used my last $300 that I had to my name and there it was and gave it a shot. And fall 2014, I came back from homecoming. And you ever go through like one of those, not midlife, but like a moment in life where you have to like really talk to yourself?
Definitely. I go through them often.
It was after I came back from homecoming and it was like, I had fun. But financially, I'm like, nah, I only had this amount of money. And this, I shouldn't even went. You know what I mean? Like, that was my thought. But I said, you know what? Nah, like, I got to get something going. And literally, like, 2014, that November, just start trying, working it. Then, you know, get support from the homies. Like, first it started off with homies from school, just supporting. And then just the home, you know, of course, the homies at the crib. But, you know, homies from school, just, you know. Even if they didn't know it worked, it was because of like, just, it was me. I'm a cool person. I got a decent reputation as just my personality cool. Then, you know, people know me from selling stuff anyway. So they was willing to give it a shot. And then when they got it and it actually was what they wanted it to be, then it really became what it's become today.
The go-to thing.
Yeah. Like it's became that. And then, you know, like just starting out, like getting international orders, you know, within like the first few months of me doing it, I'm shipping to Australia, you know what I mean? And I'm posting about this stuff though. You know what I mean? So at the time, like as I'm posting about it, my followers seeing it and they like, yo, that's sweet. Like that's like, you know, and the person really like retweeting that's from Australia. Like, yeah, I got it. I like it. Like, you know, so, you know, that was the start. That was the start of everything. Like it started off with, you know, just sending it up and down the East Coast because it was only people that knew me who was getting it. So it was really like people from school, people up and down the East Coast. Then you'll start trickling. Then you'll get a Midwest, you know, social media powerful thing, you know.
Definitely like, is. Trust like, me. I mean, this conversation wouldn't even happen without social
exactly.
media.
Exactly. So it's like Twitter, you know, took that and, you know, that was like the platform that truly helped. And then, you know, I was promoting on my personal page. And then, you know, it was growing and my homie was like, bro, you're going to have to get a separate page, you know, for your business. Like, you can't keep doing it through your personal. I was like, you're right. Created, you know, the EBO page on Instagram and there we go since. And then, like I said, just it grew, you know, word of mouth. Word of mouth is really how my business grew between like in person and then like the, I guess, quote unquote, social media word of mouth where like, you know, people will use it. And when this person,
I think that gets undersold so much, you know, because we're in the technological age and everybody is always about e-commerce and everything like that. And those do work. But in its core and down towards, you know, its bones, business is still about personalities, about people trusting you, about that word of mouth recommendation.
Exactly. And then it's like you selling your, I guess I don't want to say yourself, but you are in a sense selling yourself because a lot of people get business not because of what they're selling, it's because of who they are. If you have a great personality, you got good reputation, or whatever the case may be, people don't mind supporting you even if they don't know what you're supporting, because they already like the spirit that you come off with. Where you got some people that had the best product in the world with the worst personality, and people like, I don't even want to buy nothing from them because their service is this or this and that. But they have the product, the quality. But it'd be stuff like that where, like, you know, like I say, like that word of mouth, that in person or through social media, where like you don't know how many people DMing somebody else asking them about your product or about your service, you know, like that's a real thing. And so then, when, like, did I say, it just looking up, having different people retweet my stuff. It was cool. It's been cool.
When you got so big from the word of mouth and the, you know, person to person validation, when did you know you needed to take it to a e-commerce platform like Etsy or
Etsy?
Etsy, yeah.
I did that from the jump. Like, I was on Etsy like since I started, just because my mom, like I said, Mom Duke's just a sneaky goat. She already had like Etsy for her stuff. So we would just put that on her platform. Then it was a way where you can get that person that's out of town a way to get their stuff, and I can ship it to them and they could pay with their card and things. So I've been on Etsy since I started. It just wasn't until like the end of 2015 where I created my own separate platform from my mom's page, where I created the actual EBO Etsy page at like the end of 2015, top of 2016. And then that's like the top of 16 is when I fully transitioned over from my mom's page to my page, you know, just because a lot of people was going there, so they was familiar with it. But, you know, once I let everybody know we had our individual EBO page on Etsy, that's when, you know, everybody transitioned and would come there. And to this day, you know, over 1,600 reviews, probably 99% of them are 5-star reviews out of the
6. Nice.
You know, you got a few like 4 stars just because, you know, some people can't, they don't believe in giving perfect reviews, which I understand. I don't get it, but I understand.
Is that a real thing?
No, it's a very real thing. I have people that really tell me, like, I just don't believe in giving 100% reviews. So I'm going to give you 4 out of 5, even though it's just that great. I've been doing it for so many years now where it's like, it's weird, but it's really real. So you don't really complain about it. You just say, you know what? I take it for what it is. You know what I mean? Like, that's just their way of saying, okay, it's a 5-star. I just can't give it to you because I don't believe in personally. I guess people don't want to say like something. Somebody don't want to say something is perfect. So that's just their way. Even though in their mind it is, they just can't. I don't get it, bro. I don't get it. But it is.
I guess I could get it. Like, in business, nothing is perfect. A product can always improve. We can always do better. And we know that. But I wish a teacher would have given me A- when I deserved an A+ just because you don't believe in giving an A+. It's like,
what? That's how I feel. But at the same time, like, I don't really try to get my energy off arguing with people. I just be like, all right, cool. But on the back end, it's just like, I'm not going to complain about this one person if I got hundreds of other people giving me 5 stars, great comments. And that's just the reviews on Etsy. They don't even count the people who don't even leave reviews, but they sending me Instagram posts and tweets and stuff like that. If I combined all that in there, then I don't even know how many, you know, it would be a lot. Yeah, it would be a lot. And I'm talking about, like, I got a wide variety of customers from black men, white men, transgendered people. Like, I got a wide variety of customers where, you know, like, everybody likes it. So I know I'm doing something right.
So you was ahead of the game, seeing how we all know that we're in a pandemic and, you know, a lot of brick and mortars and all that are having problems, you know, generating, you know, the normal revenues they would have because that was their business. Did you find that because your business was already in a digital platform that, you know, you really didn't have to make that many adjustments to the new economic situation we're in now?
Yeah, like, that was the best thing. Like, by already just being online, it made it easier. It's like, you're looking at people trying to switch and create an online platform for their business. It's like, you think I'm 29, I grew up in that era where technology was just getting introduced in a lot of ways, but you realize, like, just the easy, like, once I found out a way to tap before, Instagram and you realize you can sell stuff through Facebook and MySpace, like I already knew like social media is going to be the platform. And it's like, you got to think it's everybody's on there all the time. At the time, Twitter, you know, that was it. So people always on Twitter, you promoting your business, it's going to hit somebody page, somebody going to see it, you know? And then it's just like, think about it now, like it's on the online platform. I don't have no, I guess what's the word I'm looking for? It's no limit, I guess, in terms of like anybody around the world could come to an online store.
Exactly.
As opposed to if I just had it in DC, now it's like I'm never coming to DC. I live in Asia. I'm never gonna get a chance. But
there's no geographical barriers.
There's no barriers, no geographical barriers, no nothing. The only barrier is if your country doesn't accept products from America. But other than that, like everything else is like if you can get it there, I can ship it there. You know what I mean? So
Now here's the thing I want you to talk, because I have some listeners and probably some entrepreneurs who are either trying to figure out how to do international shipping or are running into, you know, some complications of how that works. Can you kind of go into details of your experience with that?
Pay the money. It really ain't nothing. It ain't no shortcuts. It ain't no cheaper price. It's just what it's going to be. Like a lot of companies, like I ship the USPS. Some stuff get there, some stuff don't. Always put insurance on international packages. Like, that's the key to it all. Like, a lot of packages, they make them there. But you might have that few that just sit in customs or whatever the case may be, and the company going, not the company, but the country's going through different presidential things, and it's tariffs, and it's different things that go on where you got to kind of be mindful of what's going on in other places as well, you know, when it comes to that. But realistically, you just got to pay the money, and then you just got to find the best option for whatever it is that you're selling to ship. You know what I mean? And then just be transparent with your customers. If you know you're shipping through a platform that's not really going to get it there quick, let them know it's going to take some time. And then it's, at the end of the day, it's their choice to still purchase or not. Yeah, you might miss some sales, but you don't want to mess your reputation up saying, okay, yeah, I can ship international, but then it's taking 3 months to get there. Somebody would be upset with that.
All of those are gems, because I've never, you know, my stuff I sell doesn't have to ship anywhere. Like, I do consultations. We either do FaceTime, Zoom calls. I don't deal with international shipping, but I always find it interesting how kind of what you talked about, the regulations, the tariffs, how does it happen? And from your experience, you say you use USPS. Have you tried other ones that you could give an experience on?
I haven't tried any other ones because the prices were so
high.
FedEx, I got to do check out DHL. It's just DHL in terms of like, getting it to DHL, you know what I mean? Like, DHL is not like FedEx, where you can go to the FedEx store or the UPS store or the, you know, you really got to search and see if it's a DHL in your location or a pickup plate, like, you know. But even with them, you got to really check and see their parameters too, you know. But it's just like with international shipping, it's a constant battle with that because it changes so much, because this presidential setup might mess up things, and then it might throw, you get what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
that type of stuff you got to be mindful of, because it plays a role into that, and a lot of people don't think it does. I'm like, nah, it's the stuff that affect your business. Like, if you can't get materials, if you can't, not all this other stuff, it's like, this is the stuff these people letting, like, what they're doing.
Have you thought about, you know, just staying strictly digital, or eventually will you try to get some distribution in brick and mortar stores, whether it be, you know, small mom and pop, you know, supply stores, or, you know, the Walmarts, the Target, is that in the plans in the future?
Yeah, I mean, it's in the plan, because I do it now with like different barbers that I mess with. I got like a few barbers. We do some wholesale deals. Like, I have my buddy Chad in Orlando, my buddy Rico out here in Waldorf. That's my barber. My buddy in Baltimore, he has a shop or two, and he comes and gets like a nice little setup. You know, I do like select little like little small wholesale packages of like 20, 40 jars to you know, like my barbers, like the barbers that mess with me.
Mm-hmm.
It's like women that started like small beauty salon boutiques and things like that, that want to have a male product, and you know, they carry my stuff with them. But my goal is to really just get my production, because again, I make everything by hand, and a lot of people don't think I do. Literally, I make every jar by hand.
Oh, wow.
You know, so the quality that's in these, like, it's not like a machine or somebody, this is really me sitting down and doing all these by hand. But I know by doing that, I know what's going in, that the right amount of quality, the love, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, but I'm working to build a platform for myself where it could still be there, but on a larger scale where I could have maybe two or three people locking in, making jobs while I'm, you know, setting this up and setting that up so that I can expand to having my products, because it's so many people that like I said, barbers and things like that reach out to me that want to have my stuff in their shop, but I can't afford,
you can't
not
do the
afford
mass production.
Yeah, I can't do the mass production. I was about to say I can't afford. It's not that I can't afford to do it. It's just the timing where I got to do my online. My online is a whole nother monster. Then, you know, my barbers that I'm already locked in with, you know, I make sure, you know, they get taken care of. And then you have new people that want to come. And it's like, I want to let y'all be a part of the team, but I can't also take away from the core people that started with me from the beginning.
I love your devotion to quality, because sometimes, like in the, especially in the fields, I see like startups, especially in like tech, everyone's always pushing scale, when a lot of times scale does disservice to the quality of the product. We see that a lot when a small mom and pop restaurant goes from one location to four, the food don't hit the same like it used to.
Yeah, and then scale, like, you want to scale, but it's like, are you scaling up because the demand is there, or are you scaling up just because you think that's what you need to do? That's how
exactly.
People go broke. That's how everybody go broke and be messed up, because it's like, if you knew the business, I'm not about to buy 300,000 units. I don't know if people gonna even want it. You know what I mean? But if I know I have a guaranteed demand for 200,000 units, I'm gonna buy 300,000. Because if it's a 200,000 demand, I know for sure it's gonna be extras. But you buy 300,000 units or something like that, and you only had a demand for 10,000. Now you're sitting here with $290,000 worth of stuff, 290,000 units. Like, you looking crazy. Like, you don't want to just jump into it head first without knowing what you're doing.
And you know what people like me do when we look at them balance sheets and I see that you got, you know, product that's older than 30, 60, 90 days? Flag, red flag, red flag.
Yeah, like, you got to know, like, you got to scale your business according to the level of where you at. You know me, my biggest issue is that I will always make just enough to get certain things done. But when it all changed for me, when I went viral in 2017 on Twitter, that's when I knew I had to always buy more than what I needed, because it's like the demand always there now. Like, this just turned everything up for me.
That's dope, bro.
Yeah,
that's
Twitter,
dope.
Twitter, man. Twitter changed. Yeah, I really be like that too. That tweet really did change my life. July, what was that? July 14th or something. It was July. It was like middle of July of 2017. I remember, when I say I remember it vividly, bro, like, I remember everything that happened that day. Like, I'm talking about literally,
that,
I just dropped the tweet.
That was the tipping point. You had your tipping point moment.
Yeah, because literally that day, I'm watching people do the same type of tweet that I made, and I watched it just work for them. So I was like, everybody else doing it? Let me try it. I watched different people do it throughout that week. And I was like, man, I ain't going to do it. People ain't going to retweet this. Man, I just was like, you know, hi, so-and-so, this is what I make, blah, 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 if you can retweet this. And I'm thinking like, all right, you know, I got some followers. They're going to show me some love, but not like to the extent. I just made the tweet, and I went out that night. Like, I went out. It was somebody's birthday. We went out. So, of course, the Etsy connected to my phone. So I see myself getting some sales. I'm like, okay, cool. You know, that tweet worked a little bit. It got a, you know, I got a good response. I take that. That's a good, you know, at that time, I'm like, oh, that's a great day. You know what I mean?
Right.
Man, I woke up the next day, and I'm like, oh shit, like, it's moving like that. What's going on? Like, you know, my website jumping, but it's like, okay, cool. Like, I ain't, you know, cool. Then by noon, I was like, hold up. I ain't never had, I'm on the phone with my grandma. Like, grandma, my site going crazy. I don't know what to do. I started getting anxiety, because again, it's not a bad thing, but again, you're not used to that many sales.
Right.
So you start panicking. I'm like, oh. So then as the day go by, you like, all right, I can manage. But then the day go by, you like, yo, I ain't never. I'm like, mom, should I shut my site down? She said, you better not shut that site down. Like, all right. Man, I was gonna shut my site down for a couple of, man, I should have. Literally, I had to shut my site down. This was like a Saturday night when I did the tweet. It really caught that Sunday. I had to shut my site down that Wednesday. And at that time, like I said, it was so crazy. Like, I probably got over 1,000 orders in, like, that span.
Yo, go off. That's what I'm talking
never,
about.
And I never in my life had no, you know what I mean? I'm like, bro, did I really just get 1,000-something orders? I had to shut down. And I'm like, man, I ain't never. That's a nice little bit of money to me. Like, I'm like, damn, that's a nice lump sum. I ain't never, you know. So you just, like, you get everybody at the crib on board. I'm like, look, I pay all the bills that y'all need. Just work for me so we can get all these orders done. And then I opened up a week later, like, over my site back up thinking like, all right, bet, like, it's gonna calm down now, man. People was like waiting like it was Jordan's. Like, once I opened back up, it just started going crazy again. I'm like, yo, this is like something is going on. And literally from that point on, then, like, the dynamic of, like, sales and my followers went up. And then through the midst of all that, while I'm selling new stuff, the people that was ordering is getting their stuff, and they're discussing like yo, this stuff is like that, it smells good. So it's amping more people to buy my stuff, to the point where I said that tweet got like 20,000 retweets.
That's dope, yo. I love the power of social media.
Off the humble. No, you know what I mean? It was just, that's why I said, like, I could never be one of them people that be like, oh, self-made. Like, of course, yeah, you do it by yourself because this is your idea or whatever. But like I said, if all them people ain't retweet my stuff, if all them people never came and caught from me or sent their friends or women that came to get stuff for their boyfriends and uncles or dudes that came to get stuff for themselves, like, you know what I mean? More than anything, like, I always appreciate the people. Like, I be feeling like The Rock. Like, I be saying I'm the people's business. Like, because I really interact with my customers. I'm not one of them people that's like, oh, I only got to get it to celebrities. Like, nah, bro. You work for Metro? Come pull up on me.
I hear that, bro.
Yeah, like, I be telling people, like, somebody, like, I'm talking about them came past my house. Like, they done been the hoodest of the hood dudes that people know, the dancers that done came, the everyday 9-to-5 people, the local celebrities, like, people, everybody that you could think probably done came to holler at me and just grab some stuff, and then, you know, like, some come back.
Yo, that's, some don't. That's, you never really that's know. Just what... That's what this platform is about. I always like hearing the stories from the ground up. Where it really started, where people got their, you know, got their feel and that, you know, and all the people I talk to are always humble. They kind of like you. They never say they self-made. They always appreciative of their followings on social media and all that. And that is just so dope. Before we wrap up, I want you to give the listeners a piece of business advice of all the things you've experienced over the 7 years, almost 8 years being in business, and then give them your Twitter handles, your websites, all that, where they can reach you and definitely get some of the product.
My biggest thing is just, like, don't be scared to put the money behind yourself. Like, it could be, like, I started my last 300 and it worked out. Like I said, don't get me wrong. It's not easy. It's not just going to be a cakewalk, but it come with that. Like, but the reward with working hard and, like, really putting your talent behind, you know, basically, like, betting on yourself is really real. You know what I mean? And a lot of people say, oh yeah, better yourself. But outside of betting on yourself, you got to believe in yourself. Like, believe in what you're going to do is going to work. Like, a lot of people, oh, I got a plan B. I'm like, nah, I really just believe the bed, but it's my only way. That's what's going to bring me, whether it fails or not. But by even if it fails, God forbid, it's going to lead me into the next phase. So it's still a part of my story. So always just follow, you know, what you feel. You can follow us at EBO Beard Butter, EBO Beard Butter on Instagram, on Facebook like page, it's EBO Beard Butter. And if you follow the Twitter page, it's EBO Beard Butter 1. And that's EBO BEARD BUTTER. My website, I have an Etsy page. Etsy is ETSY, but you can go as www.etsy.com/shop/EBO Beard Butter. That'll take you to the direct link to my shop. And if not, you can follow me on those social media platforms, and my link is in all the bios. If you want to follow my personal page, the link is in that bio too. On Twitter, Instagram, it's young_AirGod. I'll be 30 next year, so I'll probably just change it to my government name and be on that, you know. For real though, like,
I'm with you.
I can't be young AirGod forever, like, you know.
Yeah, that's why I say Jamal W. Vito Zagger up sometimes.
Yeah, but like, I'm just going to be Edward Oliver, like, you know, come holler at me. You know, that's, but, you know, I just want to thank, before we go, just shout out to everybody that's been supporting me. Shout out to Jamal Vitos, you know, for just putting me on this platform, showing love. He didn't have to, but he did. So thank you to him. Major shout out to the man upstairs. And, like, of course, without him, all this ain't possible. And shout out to my OG, my mother, because without her, there would be no EBO Beer Butter. And if you can, make sure y'all follow her at Caravan Organics on Instagram. Shop with Mom Duke. She got the great skin products for your skin. Keep you clear. Keep you smelling right. You know, all natural, vegan, organic, things like that. Appreciate it.
And with that, I'm going to let Ed have the last word. This has been a great episode of The Culture's Money, and I'll holler at y'all next time.
That's right. Thank you for listening to this episode of The Culture's Money. You can follow Jamal on Instagram and Twitter at Leo Grand Prince. That's Leo Grand Prince. You can also get in contact with Jamal via Facebook and LinkedIn. Just type in his name. That's Jamal, J-A-M-A-A-L, Vitos, V-E-T-O-S-E. Thank you for listening, and we'll catch you next time right here on The Culture's Money, baby.